Amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well. What a blessing it's been just being in church, and I trust that you feel like it was worth getting off the couch and whatever it was you were doing, coming in from gardening or getting ready to garden or whatever, and coming to church tonight. It's been a blessing just to be here, sensing the presence of God in this place. I tell you, if anytime you want to sense the devil's presence, you try to do something, accomplish something for the Lord, and you'll find that Satan is in opposition to the Lord's work. And I knew this morning, last night when I was here, I knew that God had had a use for the message. I think I thought it was going to be a powerful service this morning. And boy, everything. Satan reared his head and just a lot of things with a lot of people. Had the commodes in the bathrooms back up during right before services started. And you sense that. But what a blessing it is when you just keep going, just doing what God has called you to do, and you find that greater is He that is in you than He's in the world, and He's going to give you the victory. As long as you stay focused on unconditional obedience, you'll find that you'll have the victory. And it's a blessing to be able to witness that. And then tonight, just sense the presence of God and the blessing of being in church. And so it has been a tremendous blessing already this evening. Well, Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. Do you think you know who the CEO of Tabernacle Construction is, anybody? I think you'd just say that out this afternoon, possibly. The CEO, Sunday nights when we're going through and teaching on little-known Bible characters, but characters that God has a powerful message for us from their life and what they was able to establish. I think when we read the passage of Scripture tonight, our text, you're going to find out who that is, that CEO of Tabernacle Construction, the chief executive officer, all right, that God put called to do this. And so if you'll stand with me, we're going to read here Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. And let's start reading in verse 1. We'll read down to verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship. And I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. The tabernacle of the congregation, and the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, and the table and its his furniture, and the pure candlestick with all his furniture, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his furniture, and the laver and his foot, and the clothes of service, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons, to minister in the priest's office, and the anointing oil and sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded thee, shall they do. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight, we do thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. And we thank you for what we've already received and the blessing of being in church. And now as we look into this passage of Scripture and we study this Bible character, Bezaleel, I pray, God, that you would just use this to speak to us and to encourage us in looking to accomplish what you have called us to do as well. In this we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, Bezaleel, I don't know, did anybody figure that out? It was going to be Bezaleel that we'd be preaching on tonight, and I trust she was able to do so. But Bezaleel was a Jew of the tribe of Judah, and God called Bezaleel to construct the tabernacle and all of its furnishings. Now, the tabernacle was the most important thing about the Old Testament. And we find that the Old Testament tabernacle represented God. And the tabernacle itself just simply means tent. And it was the portable sanctuary that God used to be able to follow, or for Israel to take it with them as they traveled out of Egyptian bondage through the wilderness and into the promised land. Once they would get into the promised land, and years later we find that Solomon would be called to build the temple of God, which was then replaced the tabernacle. But the tabernacle was that what God had designed it, everything about the Holy of Holies, the holy place, all of the furniture, all the clothing that the priest and Aaron would wear, and all the different things. And if you read, there's much in the Bible that talks about every minute detail of the tabernacle. It not only did it represent God, but it also was designed to represent God's reconciliation of man to himself. Every color, every fabric, every shape, whatever the material was used for every particular furnishing, whether it was gold laden or not, all the different things. God had a design for every little minute detail. God's the one that designed it. He called Moses to lead the nation of Israel. He called Moses, if you will, to be the leader and to establish the tabernacle. But God called Bezalel to do the building of it. Now, it's a blessing to me, and there's so much more than what we get into one message tonight, but Moses had limitations. I mean, what God called Moses to do was more than somewhat overwhelmed him at first, even the idea to go before Pharaoh. And he needed some assurance of that, and he was wanting more help, and he didn't see himself as being able to have all the qualities of a leader to be able to do such a great task, to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt and through the wilderness into the promised land. And God took from him what he had already gave him and gave it to Aaron to be his associate, to help him. But I like that. When you study that, it's God says, what I had already given you, I've taken from you to give to Aaron. You had it within you. You just didn't have the faith enough to be able to use it. But he said that he gave him Aaron to help. And then we find that when he comes to the tabernacle and all the furnishings and knowing that it has to be built a certain way, and there was a purpose for every minute detail, Moses, thinking about this, would have driven himself crazy because he would have realized, I don't have those skills. But God comes to Moses and he says, I know you're the one that I've chosen to lead and to establish the worship in the tabernacle and establish everything that I've given to you. But I think it was almost like, rest assured, take a little comfort in something. I've called Bezalel. I've called Bezalel to do the building of the tabernacle. Skills. Everyone has a different skill set, I guess. The saying is either you've gotten brains or brawn. Now, I don't know that's exactly, I mean, just cut right down the middle. You can't have both, but I think that as most of us, we might have a little bit of both. I don't know. A combination of whatever, wisdom, a combination of common sense and knowledge and understanding and maybe some physical ability, maybe even some athletic ability, different things. But everyone has limitations. If you was asked to do it all, it would be more than what you would be able to accomplish. But God knows what we can accomplish. And God knows who he's going to call to do what. So we find this Bible character. Very few people actually will, his name is not common around the household and not common even around the church house. But God knew him. And the Bible says that first of all, we look at this man Bezalel, that God called him by name. I love that. And God called by name Bezalel. It gives us a little bit of his background, a little bit of his home life, where he, how he was trained, who his father and grandfather was. Called by name. The first thing I want to see and I want to present to you tonight from this Bible character, Bezalel, is that God knows your name. Amen. He has a personal and individual plan and purpose for every one of us. If you study the life of Jesus as he came, he knew what he came to do. He came to be the sacrificial lamb. He knew that in 33 years he would be going to the cross of Calvary. But at the very same time, during that time, as we studied this morning, he was going to prepare, he was going to establish his church for this New Testament church age, that he knew how long it would be here before the rapture would take place. He knew that it would be at least, 2,000 years, for it's been over 2,000 years. And the church age is still in intact, and it's still going strong, and the church that he has established is still going strong. He knew that he would establish the church, and in establishing the church, he would prepare and train apostles that would then, in like turn, train and prepare those under the them who would again train and prepare others, and has been passing that down, the church ministry, for some 2,000 years. And it's exactly how God designed it. And in Jesus, as he was preparing the church, knowing that those that would be his apostles would be important, he called them all by name. Called them all by name. In Acts in chapter 13, as God was going to establish the missions ministry for the New Testament church. And of course, there had been others that had been out and doing what God had called them to do. The church of believers were scattered and they become missionaries going around. But he wanted to establish the fact that the New Testament church would send missionaries into all the world. It would be a part of the Great Commission. And so we find in Acts in chapter 13, we find that God called, the Bible says, by name, Saul and Barnabas. Called them by name. Why? Because he knew them. He knew where they had been. He knew how he had prepared them. He knew their skills. He knew their intelligence, their knowledge, their wisdom, their insight, their abilities. For he's the one that prepared them for it. When it came time, he called by name Barnabas and Saul. In the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, look there with me. Ephesians in chapter 4. Can I tell you that God's mostly concerned about the work of the church today? The church is what Jesus Christ established. It is what God works through today to accomplish his will. He knows what it takes to make strong churches. And what is that? It's strong families. What's it going to take to make strong families? Strong individuals. Girls that understand what God has called them to do as women. And boys that understand what God has called them to do as men. And then them coming together and establishing their own Christian home. And as they establish their own Christian home, they also establish the church that they're going to be in. And they look to get behind the work that God's called them to do in church ministry, whatever that might be. For 2,000 years that's been taking place. Whether we acknowledge it or understand it, it's been taking place. And all we have history to back it up. Wow. And we find here in Ephesians in chapter 4. Ephesians in chapter 4, look down to verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things, Jesus Christ. And what he did while he was here. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of what? The body of Christ, which the Bible says is the church. It's the body that Jesus Christ is the head of. And he says, I've done all of this, and I've called, and I've prepared, and I've called them by name. And not only have I called them by name, in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, in verse 18, it says the Holy Spirit of God plants them as it pleases him. Amen. Plants them where? Into the church. The local New Testament church that God is going to work through. God knows you by name. If you're saved, can I tell you, He has a plan for you in and through the church. Amen. Praise the Lord for a lot of other good things that are being taken place and being accomplished in this world, but nothing should ever take the place of the church. Amen. These parachurch ministries, I mean, they do good things, but if that takes the place of God's church, it's not God's will. It's not God's best. God's best for you is His church. Wow. Jesus established that. God called Bezalel by name. He knew at that time in human history, the most important thing for humanity was this tabernacle. The nation of Israel were the people that He called. And He called the nation of Israel that they might represent God to the world. And so now He's instructing them on His plan for them and what they are to do in order to represent God to the world. And part of what they were preparing to do and represent God to the world is how they would live their lives and how they would worship their God and how they would acknowledge the fact of the tabernacle. And understanding that it was not Moses' design. It was God's design. God called Moses to establish it and to lead the nation of Israel, but it was God's design and it was God's tabernacle. Yeah. And he understood exactly who he was going to call by name. To build it, to move it, to do the work in it. Every intricate detail, every minute detail, God designed and had purpose for. Same God that we serve today. Amen. Very same thing as we look at the tabernacle, it is symbolic of the New Testament church today. Represents God. God's design for God's people. God's design to be a testimony to the world that there is a true God. God called him by name, and God is still calling people by name. He knows your name. He knows your name. I like it when he calls me Dan. Because when he's upset, he'll call me Daniel W. Tidd, you. That's right, Daniel Wayne, that's my mom. Whenever she's upset, she always calls, I was her favorite son, of course, you know. I was the youngest of all the seven boys, and I was the youngest of the boys, and she always told me, you'll never grow out of the fact that you're always going to be my baby boy. I mean, I'm still her, even though she's in glory today, I'm still her baby boy. I'm her youngest boy, so I'm her baby boy. And she acknowledged that fact to me, that I would never outgrow that. And my other brothers used to acknowledge that as they would throw me around and beat me up against the wall and take it out on me because I was mom's favorite. When I was in good standings, it was Danny. Dan, my son. When she was upset, her dad especially, Daniel Wayne, he knew my full name. Yeah. God knows our names. Yeah. God prepares us for his call. He knew what he was calling Bezalel to do. He hasn't told Bezalel as far as has been recorded. God tells Moses that he's calling Bezalel. Moses probably hadn't even talked to Bezalel as of yet. He is getting in the instruction from God. This is what I want you to do. I'm going to have you build this tabernacle. And don't worry. I know that you don't have the skill sets to do it all. It's very important how it's built. And so I've called somebody by name that's going to be able to do it just the way I designed it. Verse 3, he says, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. God says, I've done that. He is going to be able to accomplish what I've called him to do because I've done this in preparing him from birth, where we received our name. I don't know just how important our names are. I love the idea of giving our children Bible names. I love the idea that when parents, when they're thinking about it, it's a very big deal. You know, it's usually something that you have to come to an agreement. Because in the start with, many times the father wants an extreme one way, the mother wants an extreme the other way. And you have to come together and say, all right, no, wait a minute. This child is going to have to live with whatever we call him for the rest of his life. And so we want to make sure that it's something that God wants him, the name that God wants for him. Amen. That's a good thought to have in naming your children. But I know that God knows us by name, so from birth. He knew him from birth, even in the womb. Even in the womb. And then from that, from the experiences and training leading up to the call. Experiences, God only knew who you would be born to. That's something that was not in your control. Where you were born, it's a privilege. It ought to be a blessing. You ought to look at it as a blessing to be born in the United States of America. You were born in a nation that God has used, a nation that has the freedom of religion, a nation that has been known as a Christian. It's a blessing to have been born in America. Can I tell you that because of that blessing alone, you will be more accountable to somebody that was not born in a nation like the United States of America. If you were born in a Christian family, then there is more expectation. There is a higher accountability because you've had privileges that others did not have in being brought up. We used to always try to convince our children it's a privilege to be brought up in a pastor's home. They didn't buy into it for a while, you know. No, everybody looks at us and they expect us to be so good and never do anything wrong and on and on and on. Whenever we would go out, or especially in the early years of ministry, you know, that I had both of the girls and we trained them to sing. And I knew that if they sang, I would get a better love offering. And so I would put them up in front of the people, you know, let them sing. Now, I really wasn't doing that for love offering, but every time we was on vacation, they would usually end up being in front of the church singing. privileged. They didn't see it as being privileged at the time. I think they do now. Because they're trying to convince their children it's a privilege. If you've been raised in a Christian home, be thankful for that. You don't understand how thankful you ought to be, teenagers. Hopefully you will one day. God designed that. God gave you to your mother and father. Yeah. God prepares us for the call. From naming us to the training and experiences that prepare us for whatever God calls us to. With the call comes a heart to answer. Not only does God prepare us, but God does something inside of us that can't be explained totally. In verse 6, "And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan." He knew that he couldn't do it alone either, but he was going to be the CEO of it. He was going to be the chief executive officer of it. But in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, in the hearts, all those that are seeking wisdom, seeking to be used, I put wisdom that they may make all that I have commanded thee. The call comes a heart to answer. Again, here before Moses had even talked to Bezalel, Bezalel would have known. I remember I got saved when I was 8 years old, and praise the Lord for that. And I remember at that time thinking, why doesn't everybody get saved? And I remember, I think you've heard my testimony before, but I went to, on that very next, I got saved on Sunday school. On Monday, I was in church, in school rather, third grade. And I went to the teacher, Mrs. Payne, and one of the only teachers I remember, but because it's associated with my salvation, I do remember Mrs. Payne. And I went to Mrs. Payne and I said, "Mrs. Payne, I've got something to tell the class today." And she says, What is that?" And I said, "I got saved yesterday." I said, "I was in church and I received Christ as my Savior." And I said, "I think everyone needs to know this. Everyone needs to receive this." And she, I remember her big smile on her face, and she says, "Well, as soon as class gets together, I'll let you stand and I'll let you tell us that." 8 years old, I didn't really understand what was going on, but God was doing something in my life. And I remember she said, Dan has something to tell us this morning. And I was able to get up in a public school and say, "I was in church yesterday and I got saved. It's something that all of us can do. You can do as well. All you have to do is believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All you have to do is acknowledge the fact that you need of a Savior and receive Christ as your Savior. Everyone, you need to get saved." My mom used to tell me, I was preaching to my other family members all the time and tell them, I don't remember much of that. I really don't. I remember getting away from the Lord, but as I was getting away from the Lord, I always knew there's something inside of me telling me, this is not what God has for you. This is not what God has for you. I can't explain it all. But from that moment on, there was something different inside of me. I remember later on telling a friend of mine that was in the church as well, that we had both kind of rebelled at the same time. And I remember telling him, says, "I know that God's going to, I know that I'm saved. I know that God's going to work in my life somehow." And he says, "What? Are you crazy? You know?" And I said, "No, I just know it." And I was running from it. A lot of different things going on. But eventually God worked in my life and surrendered my life. The greatest thing I've ever done in my relationship with God was just total commitment and surrender. Going along with this morning, unconditional obedience. Once I did that, I've never looked back. Never looked back. Only something that God knows. And he was working on Bezalel before Bezalel, actually even before Moses talked to Bezalel, as far as we know. This is what God was doing. That's what he was doing in the call of Bezalel, in the preparation of Bezalel. He understood that. And God was giving him a heart and doing something within his life to prepare him for the call. There would be opposition to the call. There's always opposition, as I said this morning even. There's always opposition to the work and the will of God. From Exodus chapter 24, look back there with me for just a minute. What God put in Bezalel, Satan wanted to get it out. What God put in you to serve him, God wants to get it out. Satan wants to get it out. So this is God speaking to Moses. In Exodus chapter 24 and verse 18, the Bible says, "And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights." And God was explaining to Moses about the tabernacle, about the commandments, about every detail. You can read that. Moses went up to meet with God in the mount. From Exodus chapter 24 to Exodus chapter 32. Moses receiving instructions for 40 days and 40 nights. During that time, Bezalel would be tempted and tested. Bezalel would have to face the criticism of Moses from all around him. Bezalel would be facing the criticisms of God, leading them out of the land of plenty. They forgot about being slaves in Egypt. Chapter 32, look there with me. Chapter 32 and verse 1. "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, 'Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt.'" Wait, the man? No, wasn't it God who brought you up? Moses was just the leader. He was just a servant of God, but they were looking to God and Moses, and we don't know what's gone to them. He says, we wot not what has become of him. So this was what was taking place while Moses was up on the mount meeting with God. At the very same time, God had been working in the heart of Bezaleel, and Bezaleel understood that God had a place for him. God was calling him, and his place was going to be to serve with Moses, and his place would be to build these things for this tabernacle that God was speaking to Moses about on the top of the mount. Bezaleel would have faced criticism. Can I tell you, this keeps many from following through with what God has called them to do. The fear. And again, that idea of doubt when it comes to associating yourself with God in a lost and dying world. When everybody else is on the bandwagon as far as going back to Egypt, when everybody else on the bandwagon, God is not real. When everybody else on the bandwagon, who knows about this Moses? Let's make us other gods. Let's devise a religious system that everybody can be in agreement with. Let's devise a religious system that tells everybody just do whatever you want to do, be whoever you want to be, don't worry about morality. And it was spreading abroad. And yet Bezaleel was there. And in his heart he knew that God had called him. Wow. Bezaleel also, with his talents, could have been tempted to help Aaron form the golden calf. Can I tell you that no one would have been better prepared to take that gold and to make an idol out of that gold than Bezaleel? Everyone around would have been aware of Bezaleel's talents, Bezaleel's abilities. And when they all decided, let's put all this gold together and let's form a calf, no doubt there would have been that desire. Aaron would not have had that kind of skill. He would not have had that kind of ability. And he would have possibly went to Bezaleel and said, Bezaleel, this is what we're doing. Are you on board? Will you take the talents and the expertise and the knowledge and the wisdom and the skills that God has given to you to serve him? Will you take those same skills and use it to serve me? Whoa. That's exactly what's taking place. Look at verse 2 down to verse 5. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them unto me. I'm going to get everybody involved in this. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar. Aaron would have had somebody helping him. Doesn't say, but I believe beforehand he would have been on Bezaleel's door. You're the most qualified. You've got the skills. Will you serve me? Will you get on board here? And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar above it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord, according to these false gods. Wow. We are given natural abilities and spiritual gifts to use for God first. I believe that God can use those in getting you into making a living at whatever skills you have, being able to use them and helping somebody build a company, doing whatever work that needs to be done. I believe that that's us being in society. But you know, God did not give you those skills first and foremost to build society. He did not give you those skills and abilities to make somebody else a millionaire. Something much more important than that. the work of the Lord. The church. You know, many famous musicians, it's said of them, they got their start singing in the church. Elvis Presley got his start singing in a Baptist church. Most all of those, they've got their start. They had talents, they had abilities, they had gifts. And in the beginning, they were singing for the Lord. And then they sold out. And they sold out. Jesus told Peter, Satan wants to sift you as wheat. Take away your usefulness. There's no doubt in my mind, during that time, Bezalel was a target. Satan knew that God had called Bezalel. Bezalel knew that God had called him to work with Moses to build the tabernacle. Well, in closing, Bezalel finishes his course. Moses comes back, and you know much of the story. We're not going to go into all that, but look with me to Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35 and verse 30. This is after Moses comes back and he cleans house, amen. Everyone is judged and everyone is dealt with, and now Moses is back in control and the people are looking to Almighty God and they're looking to Moses to lead them. And Moses once again says this in verse 30. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in the cutting of stones, to set them in the carving of wood, to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that they may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahimaash of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman and of the embroiderer in blue and in purple and scarlet and fine linen and of the weaver, even of them that do work and of those that devise cunning work. And then there's 36 and verse 1. Then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, and everyone whose heart stirred him up to come into the work to do it. From chapter 36 all the way through chapter 39, you see this very same thing repeated over and over again. And that is, and he made. And he made. And he made loops. And he made 50 tacks of gold. And he made curtains of goats. And he made 50 loops. And he made a covering of the tent of rams. And he made boards. And he made boards of tabernacle. And he made bars of shittim wood. And he made the middle bar to the shoot. And for these chapters, you see it over and over again. Bezalel is doing what God's called him to do. And then he made, and he made, and he overseen this, and he overseen that. And the tabernacle was going forward. And the person of God was being exalted. And everybody was in their place doing what they were all called to do. Chapter 39, verse 43. And Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so, they done it, and Moses blessed them. There's blessings and doing the work of God. Yeah. We'll not turn there, but Matthew chapter 5, Jesus was establishing the membership of the church, and he preached to them the Beatitudes. And he said, blessed, blessed. And he again gave them things to do, and given them an attitude to have, and gave them the right testimony to present to others. But the most important thing about it, as you're doing the work of God, you have God's blessings. God's blessings. For 30 years as a church, and we're coming up on our anniversary, and I've been praying and seeking God's will and the messages and all, but it just, 30 years, it's all we've sought to do. What God's called us to do. And His blessings has been upon this church. 35 years of ministry with my wife. We just sought to do what God's called us to do right after we got married. I mean, come back on our honeymoon and thrown into a ministry. All along the way, 35 years, we just looked to do what God's called us to do. And can I tell you, there's been some battles and there's been some hindrances and there's been a lot of ups and downs, but through it all, there's been the blessing of God. Amen. There's been something inside of me. There's something that only God can do to keep us going forward. Our part. Bezalel. Unconditional obedience to God. God knows you by name and is a work for you to do. And it is associated with His church. Like if every head bowed and every eye closed. Bezalel. What a great little known Bible character that accomplished great things for the cause of God. And how we can learn from this Bible character. I don't know how God spoke to you tonight through the study of the character of Bezalel, but I trust that He has. God knows you by name. He knows your skill sets. He has a place for you. Will you do it? Will you just commit to it? Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for what you do inside of us that cannot be fully explained. But it's you that keeps us faithful. It's you that keeps us going forward. It's you that strengthens us from within to be able to do what we have to do from without. I just pray that you'd continue to work in and through the lives of all that are here tonight. They would answer the call and do what you've called them to do. And see that the church, the storehouse, continues to be strong. Continues to be used to accomplish what you have us here to accomplish. Bless now this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray.